Since announcing his campaign for U.S. Senate last year, Democrat Rick Wyland has been visiting every town in South Dakota in his bid to win the seat being vacated by retiring Senator Tim Johnson. He faces Republican Mike Rounds and Independents Larry Pressler and Gordon Howey on November 4th. Wyland is a Sioux Falls businessman who worked for Senator Tom Daschle. He also served as regional director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency and was state director for the AARP. In his campaign, Wyland says government is not the problem, but a government controlled by what he calls big money and special interests. Rick Wyland is with us here in the studio. And Mr. Wyland, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
All right, thank you very much, Carl. It's great to be here.
Well, the theme of your campaign is Take It Back, which leads to the questions, what is it you want to take back and from whom?
Well, in your opening comments, you talk about government and in the context of what I've been saying all along is that government used to be on our side. It used to be of, for, and by the people. But it's become of, for, and by the billionaires and big corporations. And that's what we need to take back. And we still have the votes. Big corporations that love to hire lobbyists and hand out political contributions to get their way, they still can't take our vote if we don't let them. So I've been talking about taking back our country from big money special interests and doing it in this upcoming election. One of the first things I'll do, Carl, when I get elected this November, is I'm going to introduce a bill. And it's a constitutional amendment. I'm going to read it to you. It says that so that the votes of all rather than the wealth of the few shall direct the course of this republic, Congress shall have the power to limit the raising and spending of money with respect to federal elections. There was something similar like this introduced in the Senate a few weeks ago. They couldn't get 60 votes to get it to the floor. That's because big money controls a lot of what's going on out there.
In discussing the role of big money and campaigns and government, I'm wondering how, if you're elected, if you're able to avoid that that system that depends on the funding. It seems like that's so intertwined with our government and the way you're able to candidates can raise money, and then once you're in office, I mean, how do you get away from that?
Well, just look at it's the reason we didn't get the health care reform we really needed in this country. I've been talking about opening up Medicare as a choice for consumers to give them a choice between big private insurance, which is what they've got now, and Medicare. And I think that that would bring down the cost of insurance. My problem with the Affordable Care Act, it's not affordable enough. But the reason it didn't happen, it was on the plate to be discussed. But it was the big insurance companies that didn't want to compete with Medicare. So they killed it with their lobbyists and their political contributions. I think you can look at energy policy in that same context. It's being driven by big oil. You look at tax reform in this country. I mean, why is it corporations, American corporations, can park money offshore in foreign banks to avoid paying taxes? General Electric, between 2008 and 2012, made $69 billion. They paid zero in taxes. As a matter of fact, Carl, they got a $3.6 billion tax refund. They hire the lobbyists, they hand out the political contributions, and they're calling the shots. And that's what we need to change. That's what we need to take back. Now, going in, people know where I'm coming from. It's the first bill I'm going to introduce. I'm going after big money. In this election, I really believe that this what this is all going to boil down to. Mike Rounds, isn't here in the studio to defend himself, but I mean, he actually boasts about raising $9 million early on in his campaign and having to spend most of his time out of state doing it. I asked him to limit contributions to $100. He turned me down cold. I asked him to sit down with me, just the two of us, and see if we could work out a way to keep all this big money, dark money from coming into the state. He didn't even return the call. You know, we have a terrible set of rules right now, but they are the rules until they're changed. And I think we'll get a better government, a government that's more for us and not the billionaires and big corporations, if we can fix it with this constitutional amendment.
And I'll just mention that Mike Rounds will be a guest on the program coming up next week. Mr. Wyland, you mentioned the Affordable Care Act, and that's something the Republicans have talked about wanting to dismantle, to repeal. Now, it sounds like that's not where you're coming from. You're looking for making some fixes with the Affordable Care Act.
And I haven't really heard one of my opponents in this campaign talk about specifically what they want to do. I think the only one that's offered up, you know, a specific recommendation how we can improve healthcare in this country. One of the things that there are a few things that did come out of the Affordable Care Act, and one was that no longer can the greedy big insurance companies drop you when you reach that lifetime cap. And that was what we had prior to the Affordable Care Act. If you got really sick and didn't die and you exceeded the cap in your insurance policy, they could kick you to the curb. And they did. They also were willing to give up this whole idea that they could write into a policy if you had a pre-existing condition, they weren't going to have to cover you. So that went away as a result of the Affordable Care Act. And they also allowed kids to stay on their parents' policies till they were 26. I think that affected almost 10,000 South Dakota families here. So that was a good thing. But what they didn't do is create some real competition. And that's where I think the big insurance companies were willing to give just a little bit for access to 50 million new customers. That's what happened here. And they did the math. They said, well, you know, we can give up on this and that, and we're still going to make millions and billions of dollars. We pay the woman that runs the entire Medicare program for the country, about 52 million people that are on Medicare, 140,000 of them live here in South Dakota. I think she makes around $175,000. Most of these big insurance CEOs are making 20, 30, 40. One in particular is making over $100 million a year. You can't tell me we can't create some efficiency on the private side by opening up Medicare, because that's exactly what it would do. And not only that, it'll help strengthen the trust fund, because you're going to get a lot of young, healthy people, which is what the play was for the insurance companies when the Affordable Care Act was being discussed. They want the young and the healthy who are going to have to pay a premium and not have to get health care because they're young and healthy. We could bring those folks into Medicare, strengthen the trust fund, make the program stronger. It's a win-win-win for everybody.
Another issue that has come up in this election is the Keystone XL pipeline, and Republicans have said that if they gain control of the Senate, that's one of the first things they'll do is approve the pipeline. Proponents say it'll grow jobs and decrease dependence on foreign oil. You're shaking your head. What's your position on the?
You know, I think it's just so unfortunate that big money, big oil has so much power and so much of an ability to influence not only members of Congress, but the general public with their propaganda. If you get on the internet and just do your own research, call the experts, talk to the left and the right, you know, whatever. The bottom line is, you know, there are some definitive statements to be made here. This is not a jobs bill for the country. They're talking 35 permanent jobs. I wish someone would push back on that. I have not heard anybody said, yeah, that's true. We're not going to admit that, but it's true. They don't want to talk about it. 35 permanent jobs, and we're not even convinced we're getting any here in South Dakota. The other thing is, this has nothing to do with energy security for this country. This is an export pipeline. This ugly tar sand oil, which is, you know, the dirtiest of dirty oil you could move across our land, across our aquifer, the Oglala Aquifer, down to Port Arthur, Texas, is going overseas. We don't get any of it. So how does it create jobs for us, number one, which we talked about, and two, how does it give us energy security? It doesn't. That oil's going where they can get a better price for it. So I don't buy either of their arguments. Now they're trying to talk about, we'll be able to take some of the Bakken oil now from North Dakota and run it through the pipeline, and that's going to free up rail cars so that we can move grain. They are so desperate to try to find a winning argument because they've lost on the jobs, they've lost on energy security, that they're making stuff up. And I don't know that I'll be successful in convincing all of South Dakota that this is a bad thing, because big oil is driving this agenda and they've got the money to flood the airwaves. But I just can't lay down when I know better, when I know the truth. It's not good for this country. It's certainly not good for our state.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with U.S. Senate candidate Rick Weiland. He's here with us in our studios at the University of Sioux Falls. If you're elected to Senate, you'll have to deal with international issues as well. And last month, the Senate voted to approve President Obama's proposal to arm and train moderate Syrian rebels in the fight against the so-called Islamic State. How would you have voted?
I don't think I could have supported that that part of what the president's trying to do. You know, we've been down that road before, and we actually armed and assisted what back then I guess wasn't Al-Qaeda, but bin Laden was fighting the Soviets, and we thought in Afghanistan that he was a good ally, and of course, you know, the rest is history. A lot of that support ended up being turned on our own kids when we got engaged over there. I do support the president's effort to create an international coalition. I do believe that ISIS is a serious threat, you know, to our country and to countries in the region. But I don't believe we should be going it alone, and I don't think we are at this point. You know, I think the air war, airstrikes, you know, are something we need to do to try to destabilize ISIS. You know, ultimately hoping that we end up. If not just degrading them, hopefully destroying them. So I support part of what the president's trying to do. I don't think I could have supported the you know, the legislation to arm these Syrian rebels. It just you know, to me, it's, I don't know who our friends are over there anymore, and we should have learned from our mistakes in Afghanistan when bin Laden was apparently our friend, and we were arming him to take on the Soviet Union.
As you've been traveling around the state since announcing your campaign last year, it's been more than a year now, I'm wondering, we've talked about the Keystone XL pipeline, we've talked about foreign policy, the Affordable Care Act. Are there other issues that are important to your campaign, things that you've been discussing during your meetings with people across the state?
Well, I've been asked that a lot lately because, you know, I've made over 500 community visits now. There are 311 incorporated towns. I've been to every town in South Dakota. And along the way, we've held over 200 public meetings. So, you know, depending on what time of the year in the last 18 or 17 months I've been doing this, there have always been hot button issues, like when the government closed down. People were really upset. We had the Winter Atlas, West River. We had a lot of livestock producers out there that really got crushed by that storm, and there was no farm service agency to call. So people were upset about that, and rightfully so. I had asked the candidates at the time, all the Republican candidates, to join me in a pledge to never shut down the government again over an issue that they couldn't win at the ballot box. Couldn't get anybody, including Mike Rounds, to accept that pledge. I mean, we had a group of people that at the time were willing to default on the good faith and credit of our government. Over the Obamacare legislation, over the Affordable Care Act. I couldn't get Mike Rounds, any of those candidates, to agree to never do that again. They ignored the opportunity to join me in a no pledge to shut down the government. So depending on where we've been in the calendar, you know, there's been a number of issues. The rollout of the Obamacare website, which was a complete debacle. People were pretty upset about that. What I'm hearing right now more than anything, well, I'm hearing a lot about EB-5. I mean, that's a real hot topic out there. But, you know, at the end of the day, I really believe people have, first of all, been very appreciative of the fact that I've been to their towns. I was at the Ipswich Warner homecoming football game the other night. Cold, I might add. Quite cold. I wasn't prepared for it. Should have known better. But people really respect the fact that I've been willing to come into their communities, sit down in their small town cafes, walk up and down their main streets, go into their businesses, at times even spend some time in their kitchens and living rooms talking about the challenges. You know, what's ahead for this country? What's ahead for the state? And I really, really believe, Carl, they want to feel like they can trust you. They want to feel that you're going to fight for them. And when I talk about this whole big money problem we've got in this country, we're not a state of billionaires and big corporations. We are a state of hardworking, everyday folks that just want an opportunity to be able to move ahead. No guarantees in life, just a fair shot to get ahead. And when I say that I think the system's been rigged against the middle class, everyday folks that work hard and play by the rules, but are struggling right now. I think that connects, and they want someone who's going to go out and fight on their behalf. And I can tell you, having made all of those visits, and I'm in the process of going back to all the towns I visited the first time through, people are beginning to believe something good could happen here. Something's possible. You know, we can take it back. We can get government back on our side. And I have to tell you what, that's very inspiring for me to feel that we've made that kind of progress in this campaign, that people are actually beginning to believe that we've got a shot. We've got a chance to do this and do this, you know, that is going to benefit, you know, our families, our kids. You know, not to digress, but the last thing that came up here on my last meeting last week was this whole idea of this Ryan budget, which, you know, Mike Round supports and I don't. It's a clear contrast between the two of us. There's this budget would cut taxes for millionaires and big corporations to the tune of almost $6 trillion over the course of the next 10 years. That's trillion with a T. And it's going to pay for it by turning Medicare into a voucher program, cutting Medicaid, cutting Pell Grants, going after Head Start, all these programs that I believe are investments in the middle class that will help grow our economy. And I just can't, I mean, I just can't understand why anybody representing the state of South Dakota would support a budget like Paul Ryan's proposed. But, you know, that's the difference between Mike Rounds and myself. I can't support it. I'll work as hard as I can to make sure it isn't passed, because we need to be investing in our kids, in our families, in education, in our infrastructure, which I think are ultimate investments in our economy, which will help grow revenue and help us get on top of our fiscal problems that we have in this country.
Well, Mr. Weiland, we're just about out of time here, but you've been, as we've mentioned, you've been on the road a lot, visiting South Dakota. Yesterday, you had Rick Stock East, you had Rick Stock West. On a lighter note here, it sounds like even though you're dealing with serious issues, that at least you're trying, or maybe even having fun when you're out there campaigning.
I tell you, I'm having a gas. No question about it. We had a great turnout yesterday, and it was the second Jam Fest that we've had in the state, and you know, a couple hundred people showed up again, and great local musicians that came together to volunteer their time and talent. We've written songs, as you know. I've done some parodies that we've put up on our website, and actually even put some paid media behind them. We got another one coming out Tuesday that will be up on television Tuesday evening, and it's been a lot of fun. I can tell you the best places in the state to get a piece of pie, a hamburger, best cup of coffee. I'll never, regardless of how this all turns out, and I think it's going to turn out pretty well, by the way, on November 4th. It's been a great journey personally, and I can only say that when you get out there and you talk to the voters and don't spend all your time talking to the big donors, it gets inside you, and you just want to go out there and fight as hard as you can to make life better for everyday folks here in our state.
Well, Mr. Weiland, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us about your campaign.
Thank you.
Democrat Rick Weiland is running for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by retiring Senator Tim Johnson. Republican candidate Mike Rounds is scheduled to join Dakota Midday on Thursday, October 16th. Earlier midday interviews with independent Senate candidates Larry Pressler and Gordon Howey are available on our website. You can hear them at sdpb.org. And all four candidates will debate on SDPB TV on October 23rd. And that debate will air on Dakota Midday the next day.